Blog Talk Radio.
Gosh darn, golly me, I think after some technical issues, I think, and I apologize for those technical issues, but we are back.
What happened is that what we did brought it about.
Well, I don't know about that, you know, but we did have some technical issues.
I'm not blaming anybody for that.
Well, thank you. Good, very nice of you. Thank you.
Good to know.
Good, it is good to know. Hey, this is Andy, and we have Amanda. I'm in the U.S. We have Amanda over there in the U.K. We are back. We had some technical issues this morning, but we resolved them, or somebody resolved them for us, I should say, and we are back on no problem. Hey, these things happen. It's no big deal. We're good, and have a weekend worth of news to cover and whatever else you guys want to talk about, wherever you might be listening from. If you are, our number here is 515-605-9888. Your calls make the difference, so please do call in and join the conversation. Let us know what you'd
absolutely
like to talk about. Or heck,
I'm just another manic Monday, right?
Yeah, just a Monday. Yeah. Yeah. How was your weekend over there?
Oh, yes. My weekend was awesome. Thank you very much. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. How about yours?
Very fine. My my oldest daughter actually graduated USC 18 months ago and had a graduation Zoom ceremony last June, which I think we talked about at the time, actually.
Yes.
And actually, USC had the commencement, actually all week long, because they have 21 colleges there, 38,000 graduates. They combined the 2021 with the 2020, and they invited the 2020 people, those from around the world who wanted to come and be part of it, to be part of this commencement ceremony. And it was Saturday, and it was a couple parties and dinners and things, and it was really, really nice. It was great to get back into the fight-on spirit of the University of Southern California. It was really wonderful. It was great.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful time. Beautiful time. And yesterday.
And how was she with it all?
Oh, she's great. She's in her element. She's in her element.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm so happy to hear that.
She looked great. You know, they had the cap and gown, the whole thing. It was it was great. It was really, really nice. It was wonderful. As a matter of fact, folks, if you look up USC, the first on YouTube, you'll see the 2021 commencement program on YouTube. It's there. You can actually watch. It's pretty cool to see the commencement done in the Coliseum, first time since the 1930s, I think, or 40s or something like that, in the Coliseum, the famous Coliseum. So that was really cool, but you got to see it, what it looked like on YouTube, USC commencement, and it's there. But anyway, that was you know, pretty much occupied most of my weekend, and yesterday was recovery, I think. I don't remember yesterday, really.
It must have been good if you can't remember it.
I'm trying to think.
You know what they say.
I really don't remember much of yesterday, I must admit.
I do. I really have days. I'm like, wait, what did I do yesterday?
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to really think. What? I had no idea. Couldn't tell you.
It was a weekend, and you had a great weekend. That's the important thing. That's absolutely amazing. And your gig, how did that go?
Oh,
tell us.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Forgot. How quickly we forget. That was really fun.
Oh, I know.
That went great. So much fun. So first time playing out in 15 months or something like that. It was it was terrific. It was terrific. And not only that, but having a great backing was even more terrific. And the other thing, I normally play sitting down, and my shoes are on a mic'd wooden platform, and they kind of, you know, form my drum track, my click track. My shoes go, you know, heel to toe, and bam, bam, bam. It's kind of become part of my show, really. So I play sitting down. And when the bass player of the band, you know, a couple weeks ago, I've known these guys for a while, and he said, play standing up. Just play, you know, standing up. You're nice. I haven't done that since mid-90s. Last time I played, actually standing up with a guitar strap.
Wow.
Yeah. So
How did that feel?
Oh, it was great.
Okay.
It was very free. It was like very, it was very cool. A little different because, you know, your guitar angles, your, my angles of the guitar are different. My hand positions are different. And
yeah.
It's not, not that I watch my hands too much anyway, but it's, you know, the viewing angles are different. So,
yeah.
But it was a lot of fun, and it made me think, I want to try doing it. How should I say this? Yeah, I was going to try. You know, on this show, I've got to watch how I say and what I say. On this show, I'm going to, yeah, I'm going to try doing it standing up for a while. See, what, see how that goes.
Much too rough.
Well, I've heard that from some people, sure. Oh, that's fantastic.
Give this man a beer.
Thank you. Yeah.
A Kona beer.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that was great. We're going to do it again. You know, we're going to do it again. And, you know, good. It was a lot of fun to play out. And I'm looking to get some to get out there more. Things are really starting to open up here in the U.S. regarding the coronavirus and restrictions. And the CDC here, I think, as we said, I think it was on Friday's show. Did we have a show Friday? We did, right?
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a shorter show then, because we've been doing like the hour and a half mark. I think Friday we did an hour, if I remember correctly.
Right.
It was good.
Yeah, I remember that. And but I, what was I just saying? Do you remember what I was just saying? Let me think here.
It's okay.
Anyway.
It's okay. It's Monday. Yeah.
It is Monday. But, yeah, so, yeah, Friday I was saying that, you know, it's been a long time since I played out and look forward to getting back out there and making some music and getting back into the swing of things. And the COVID disaster that we've all been experiencing on a global basis here in the U.S. is really starting to loosen up and free up. And the CDC announced, that's what I was saying, when, as I said on Friday's show, that you no longer need, if you're fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask indoors or outdoors. You can hug people. Oh, and also Saturday, I went to one of my daughter's friends had a get together before the commencement. And for parents, you know, all the friends, her friends' parents, it was a nice affair, but nobody wore masks. We, you know, I knew a lot of these people and stuff, and we hugged and we shook hands.
Yeah.
And there was no masks, and it was a normal, you know, they had the mimosas and champagne and. And it was just so cool. It was like, boom, totally normal, totally no mask, no nothing. And it was so
wow.
Great. And then at the Coliseum, you know, mass separation, there wasn't a lot of people in attendance, only two guests per graduate, whatever. So the Coliseum, which seats, I think, like 100,000 people or something like that, was very sparsely populated in the seats. I had a good seat.
Yeah.
But but it was, and all the graduates on the field were separated by 6 feet, you know,
yeah.
So it was all, everybody wearing masks. But you definitely get the feeling that I mean, traffic in LA is like it was pre-COVID. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to start putting in the extra time to get to where you're going, because that's what LA is known for, you know, these
of course.
Incredible highways with incredible slow-moving traffic in them.
I bet it's kind of, in that sense, it's a disappointment to get back to that. Specific.
Because I drove down the west side a couple times over the weekend, and you know, all during COVID, bam, 25 to 35 minutes maybe, boom, 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 and now it's, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, 50 minutes maybe, somewhere in there depending. But so it's, you know, adds another 20 minutes onto your trip east to west, and even more so west back to east. And you know, and it's good to see, and especially my Tesla does the driving for me, stop and go, switches lanes, changes intersections. So I pretty much keep my hand on the wheel, but go for the ride and enjoy the sights and look at people and cars and listen to tunes and, you know, climate controlled environment.
Driving in a whole other way.
So, there's no, and sometimes you got to look out, you know, it does a hiccup here and there. Like, we'll slow down a little more than it needs to sometimes. You just kind of, give it a little more acceleration, whatever. Basically it does change the entire experience of driving, and it's very, very cool. And when you get home, you're just, or wherever you're going, you're there so relaxed. And so, like, you have such an enjoyment experience of getting there that when you're there, you're like, oh, whoa, I have to get out. I have to get in the car.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine driving and feeling that when you're going somewhere. And that's been my experience of Tesla ownership, as we went into more detail last week when we had our car show.
And people need to, if you haven't heard that episode, go back and check it out. You can download it on as a podcast on various major sites, and hear about our discussion on cars, and Andy goes more in depth about the Tesla. And it was very cool hearing all about it. It was really, really good.
Very cool. Hey, you know what I also did over the weekend? In my Tesla, I have Spotify and all these other streaming channels that you can – it's just an amazing amount of entertainment. I searched. I pushed the button on the wheel, and I said, play the Andy and Amanda Show. And all of these Andy and Amanda logos came up, like, you know, God, you know, just pick your show. Which one do you want to hear? And, and I don't even know which one I played. I played – I don't even know when it was from, but I hit play. And I was listening to our show and say, you know, thinking to myself, you know, it's pretty good. We do – it's pretty good. You're good, Amanda. You're very good. You're very good.
Aww,
oh, I know what happened Friday.
What?
I couldn't join in, and you had to run the show for like the and I called in on the phone.
Oh,
that's
I forgot
where
about that
problem
part.
Started.
Yeah.
Right.
That's about Fridays and Mondays with us, right?
Remember that? So
I do.
So I was listening. So Friday, I was sitting there thinking I could call in, but I delayed doing so because I was really enjoying hearing you, and probably our listeners were too.
Oh, well,
they'd much rather hear you than
hope.
Me. Believe me. Believe
no,
me.
No. No, I'm sure there are plenty of people who adore hearing you, Andy, just as much, you know, or more so. You never know, right?
But that's what happened Friday. So that's what happened Friday. I knew something happened Friday, but you did you did a great job.
Oh, thank you so much. I was, I guess, you know, when you put on the spot like that, because obviously I'm not used to doing that on this show. So it was kind of like, okay. So you throw yourself in the deep end, go for it. And it was a lot of fun.
And
a lot of
for
fun.
Doing such a good job, we have a special prize for you. She was behind curtain number three.
She's going to have good sex for the rest of her life.
Oh, see? Excellent.
Only
thank
on the Andy Amanda Show. There we go. That's true.
What a promise.
Thank you. Uh-huh. That's my gift
very
to you.
Honored. Oh, thank you so much. I'll cash that in at some point, I'm sure.
Yes. And please be advised, folks, we've never met. So, you know, hey, you know, we're 8,000 miles. We're 8,000 miles apart from each other. We've never met. You know, unbelievable.
This is very true. I know.
Yes.
We have a
coast to coast. The Andy Demander Show.
Absolutely.
So, what's going on over there? Tell us what's happening in the UK.
Andy.
Uh-oh.
The UK. I mean, come on. It's the UK. I mean, we still got this issue, darling, with the Indian variant, okay? It's growing a lot here. Bolton in Manchester, they had a major hit of it, and more than 6,000 people lined up to be vaccinated because of how much it's taken over. And the government were warning, okay, so we're really nervous about this. We want everybody to go and get tested. Those who've had vaccines, just be aware. Those over 50 upwards, a reduced time between vaccinations, okay? So usually it's like a 12-week gap between the first and the second, but they've reduced it to 8. Because, you know, more vulnerable and they just really want to get on top of this Indian variant. Mm. And now it's the other place, I think they said it was Blackburn, and they're expecting it to be in Bedford, I think it is as well. And so it's picking up. It's been a 77% increase within the last 5 days. So they're concerned about it spreading very quickly, and 86 local authorities have had more confirmed cases. So this has been a bit of a hit really for us, because we're close to coming out of lockdown completely, which is going to happen, I think it's in June the 20-something, forgive me, I can't remember the date on that. So, you know, the government was saying okay, we're close to this. It's coming out of this lockdown. We've got to be even more vigilant than ever now. We've got to be sensible. We don't want to be hit again and go back to local lockdowns, because ultimately I think that's what it would come to. And so, you know, we're trying to be so, so careful.
God, I hope you don't have to. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's crazy.
I can't believe it. You know, it's interesting. Two things. Actually, there's a whole lot of interesting things, both in the science platform, the political platform, and our lives, you know. But here's what's interesting. There's obviously the coronavirus, COVID-19, has had a horrific toll on all of us, all over the world, and for everybody, you know, everybody. Then, you know, as we begin to develop and disseminate information regarding the vaccine and distribute the vaccine and get into people's arms, that's what we got to do, not just distribute the vaccine. There's more and more news about a mutation of the virus and this and that. Will the vaccine protect this? Or will protect that? And then people just starting to get to feel, okay, we're done. This thing's loosening up. Let's just go out and have, you know, live life normally. And you're getting little spikes here and there. Even all the numbers across the board are way, way down compared to where they were, you know, months ago. But the interesting thing on the scientific platform is, are we really done with this? Like you were saying, you know, is there potential that we can go, we were too loose too early, another spike, another lockdown.
Yeah.
And it seems like you there have been more jumping to the lockdown deal, bam, way before we would.
Yeah.
As a result of that, though, even though it created a lot of protests and a lot of people being very dissatisfied with Boris Badenov, that's a cartoon. what's his name? I'm sorry, Boris Strzemski there. Boris.
Yeah.
Brezhnikov. Boris Brezhnikov is from Russia. Getzel. Yeltsin. Betzel. Boris Pretzel. No, Boris. I'll get it. Don't tell me. Yeltsin. Is it Yeltsin?
Yes. No.
Don't tell me what it is. I know who. No, it is Monday. Boris Johnson.
Yay! Got there.
Woo. You know?
How do you feel?
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So there's been some, as you have mentioned, you know, in covering what's going on over there so many times on the show, expressed some of the dissatisfaction and some of the great satisfaction that people have had with him and his decisions and so forth.
Yeah.
What we think overall, you know, but you know, overall, you've been much, I guess, more to the snap, you know, in terms of resolving, you know, the projection of a spike, the projection of people, you know, and they've had these lockdowns and these things happen before, you know, being very proactive, whether it was necessary or not, they felt that it was being necessary and people had to go into lockdown. I know. But here, you know, most of the COVID, the worst of the COVID, I think, let me see, January he took over. Yeah, well, you know, most of what we were going through, our numbers were going through the roof during the Trump administration's reluctancy to instill stricter mandates regarding lockdowns and so forth and mask protections. And therefore, we saw the United States climb to the position of being number one in the world of deaths and infections because of we had no leadership at the top. And we've talked about that on several occasions as well, unlike other places in the world. And some of the other places in the world, as we also discussed, such as India, it's not that they just don't have, they're not equipped to handle, they just don't have what they need. It wasn't that they didn't care about their citizens and so forth, but they probably could have done more and give more of a national policy. Everybody stay inside, everybody wear a mask, nobody go anywhere. I don't really know what they did politically or what they did you know, in terms of the actual logistics of handling the COVID virus and the population there, but it's their numbers are more recently horrific. I mean, the worst in the world. But it's interesting. What you're saying there now is you know, there's potential for another lockdown. And I wonder, because I maybe you heard the same rumors too. Is this vaccine going to protect us against all the various mutations that take that evolve from the original COVID-19? You know.
Well, the ones that we've been given already, no, I don't think they will, because like any, I mean, with the flu, you always have to get a yearly shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep on top, because it's always changing.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be the same with this vaccination. And I'm sure we've discussed this before, that it's only meant to last three months, is it?
We did. But here's the question. Well, going back there for a second. I remember saying on the show, you know, I don't know when, well, back, they're all kind of blending together here, that I heard the news, we all heard, you know, hey, the vaccine might last 6 months now. Whoa, startling news. I'm like,
oh.
I got vaccinated in the very first round. I was early on, right? So, because of, you know, I'll say it, connections. But anyway, my whole family did. Everybody, you know, my whole family got vaccinated very early on. So, when I heard that they said it might last 6 months now, new studies have showed, I was like, wait a minute. I thought one shot, it affects your RNA, and it's like an update on your iPhone. You're getting a genetic update. It works differently than every other. It doesn't work like the flu or the polio or any of the vaccine we've ever had. It's a whole new platform of physiology that in terms of how this actually interacts with the human biology, you know, what this does and how it is effective. It's not putting some of the virus in your body and developing antibodies. That's not really what this does. Well, in a way it does, but does it completely differently. You know, in fact, it's an RNA update, bam, you know, and I thought it was, okay, you go through your vaccines, two doses or one dose if you're in the Johnson & Johnson, and boom, you're good. And then they said, oh, it could last 6 months. I'm like, wait a minute. That means right now, let me see, what month are we in now, May?
Yeah.
That means, in a couple months or whatever, am I now done? Is my vaccine no longer good because I got vaccinated the first round? How many months ago might that have been? That must have been in, I think I got vaccinated in February. Yes,
I think it was. Yeah.
February, March, April, May, 4 months.
Wow.
So... And they say you don't have to, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask outside or inside anymore. That's CDC. Now, private businesses have the right to say, no, like air travel and some restaurants and you go into a place of business, whatever it is, I don't, you know, a department store, whatever, and they have a sign, you know, no admittance if you don't have a mask. And that's their right to do that, to protect their employees, I think, as much as anybody else. But anyway, but then the CDC says if you are fully vaccinated, you really don't have to wear a mask anymore, inside or out. You can even hug somebody.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? The issue at the moment. I think there's still a lot of people hesitant with getting the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And even though a huge majority of us have been vaccinated now, there's still that hesitation because all these different bits of information keep contradicting each other. Like you said, it was 3 months, now it's possibly 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're learning as they go along, and so are we. So that makes everybody feel a little uneasy. We're trying to trust the information that's being given to us and rely on it, but it's like, okay, so if you could be wrong about that, what else could you be wrong about? And I think, you know, that's what's sitting in some people's minds. And you know, I've spoken to people that refuse to get the vaccination, and I admire them for their beliefs and the way they want to treat their body and honor their body, because ultimately that's what it's about, is it's allowing their body to fight it naturally, as opposed to giving it something that says, hey, this is how you're going to deal with it, because I'm telling you this is how you're going to deal with it, blah blah blah. But at the same time, I think it's very important that people have that crutch to lean on in case the worst does happen. And I guess it causes a lot of stress in people's minds with what is the right thing. You know, you got this one body of people saying this is the right thing for you, and then you're feeling something that's completely different, which has probably come from fear. It's fear-based thinking. But then going to get the vaccine is still a fear-based decision, because, you know, the government's saying you need this, you need to take this.
Yeah.
Because we're fearful you could get this and you could die from it. So either way, it's a fear-based decision. It's just how you choose to go about it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here and badmouth somebody for not having the vaccine at the end of the day. It's on them. If they die from it, then, you know, I don't want that to happen, obviously, but, you know, then that's their decision at the end of the day. But
Yeah. 40, that's 43% of the population, just over that actually, somewhere between 43 and 47 now, I think, percent of the U.S. population has had, has been at least one vaccine, and 38%, thereabouts, has had both. And, of course, that magic number is 70% of the population must be vaccinated in order for this virus to really kind of dissipate through this larger picture of what they call herd mentality.
Of course. Yes. Herd mentality. Herd mentality.
We're Donald Trump when you need him.
I know, right? that clip. That clip is hilarious.
Yes. Herd.
Listen, this is the way it is.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Herd immunity. Yeah. Yeah, it's because this thing is really,
We call him kryptonite.
Kryptonite. Thank you.
Very true.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Superman would agree.
Yes. Because, if enough of the population, that 70% mark right around there, is immune to this, the virus has nowhere to go, basically. And supposedly it'll go by the wayside. But, and the question is, folks, if you're on board, I know we have listeners, I can see. I know you're out there. We have listeners. I know we do. All over the world, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, did I tell you, by the way, we had a new country come on? I want to get back to this conversation, but while I'm talking about listeners, New Zealand's on board now. New Zealand.
Oh, fantastic. Welcome, New Zealand. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Welcome down here. And internationally, by the way, you can also join the conversation. I know we have international listeners right now, all over the world, all over the globe. We have people listening to our conversation right now. It's pretty cool. And welcome you on board. You can communicate with the show, even get on the show. You can talk on the show like Amanda and I are, and we welcome you to take the show over if you want to. I mean, come on. it's not difficult to do this, and we're really easy, believe me. To get on board, it's andyandamandashow@gmail.com, and let us know you want to join the show, and we'll send you a link, and make sure you have a headset and a microphone, because we're going to be talking over the internet in that instance, in that scenario. So again, andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Let us know you want to join the show. We'll send you a link directly to you. You click that link and bam, make sure you have a mic and a headset and you can join the conversation. Now I don't speak different languages, so that could be an issue. Some places around the world that are listening to us, I know, but,
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's
right?
Very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that before. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. And I think people should be more open to,
They should open up.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking English. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess they're thinking the same of us right now. I'm certainly trying to be open to speaking English because I struggle with my own language, believe me.
I was going to say something. No.
All right.
Yeah. What was I going to say again?
If you are engaging in a threesome, one of them, let's say two women with you, one of them is going to be a better lover.
That's not what I was saying. I don't think so.
Okay.
That could be true, though.
It could, Andy. I mean, let's face it, it could, I guess.
That could be very true.
Well, I was going to reply to that, but what the hell, let's move on to something else.
Yes. Okay, listen, here we've had a lot of you around the world, especially the United States, may have seen the news on various media that a representative, Congressman Matt Gaetz, is being investigated by the Department of Justice for traffic violations. I mean, not traffic. For parking tickets. For trafficking, sex trafficking,
right.
Transportation of a 17-year-old across state lines, paying for sex with an underage, under the age of 18, meaning a minor, and various other, trafficking, really. His associate, a guy by the name of Joel Greenberg, who was a tax collector, was also being investigated, and he did the appropriate thing because he knew he was going to be nailed, and he did plead guilty to sex. I mean, guilty to six.
Okay.
You know, it's probably more fun to hear the news here than anywhere else. Anyway, guilty, what I was going to say, yeah, just six federal charges, and he was the, you know, again, a former Florida tax collector and a very close friend and confidant of Matt Gaetz, and he formally made that guilty plea. I think we talked about this a while back, that he was going to do that on just this morning, actually, to six federal charges in a court hearing, admitting to a federal judge that he knowingly solicited and paid a minor for sex.
Oh, what?
Wow. Yeah. So what's the tie-in? Why does that matter? Well, of course it's matter. It's horrible and disgusting, despicable news.
Yes.
But there's also, he's a very close and confident friend of Matt Gaetz. They hung in the same circles, lived similar lives. And the prosecutors on the federal level are investigating whether Gaetz broke sex trafficking, prostitution, and public corruption laws, and whether he had sex with a minor himself. You know, Gaetz has not been charged yet and denies any wrongdoing. Gaetz, the relevance here also is that Gaetz is a very, very, very strong Donald Trump supporter to this day. Go ahead and promotes the big lie that Trump said that the 8 million votes that he lost by popular and the landslide victory that he lost, that Biden won, was not just, and that Trump actually won the election, although every single number in the world before the election said he was not going to.
Yeah.
And so Trump has this big lie gone, and Gaetz is standing by him. Now, Gaetz also, I think, in that leading up to Trump's leaving the White House, was expecting a blanket pardon from Donald Trump. Why? Why would you want a blanket pardon? So if I ever get indicted for anything, I can pull this thing out of my pocket and say, I'm pardoned. And that has yet not been tested. We don't know if that would hold up in a court. When you get a blanket pardon, how can you get a pardon for something you've never been convicted or something you've never been indicted or convicted of? How can you get a pardon for something that hasn't happened? You know, so that has never been tested. And they're also thinking, because as we talked also on the show, and it's not you know, new news, that that Trump is under investigation from several angles, from several U.S. attorneys and district attorneys for various corruption and money laundering and tax implications. And he might get indicted, and we don't know whether he pardoned himself as president before he left office, because he didn't have – if you pardon people, you don't have to tell anybody about it as president. And we don't know whether he pardoned himself and his family members before he left office. And even if he did, we don't know what weight that would hold legally. There's two conversations going on, and it's never been tested. We have no idea.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I can't even believe, you know, and the thinking was, when Trump left office, as more and more time went by, that his hold on the GOP, the Republican Party, would weaken and weaken and become less pertinent. And in fact, it has not. There's this strong allegiance in Congress to this former president, who's now citizen Trump, under investigation, caused an insurrection against these very people. He incited a riot on January 6th. He definitely did.
Yes.
And there's this, what is it? You know, if you're not supportive of the big lie, of whatever Donald Trump says, and behind the guy, it doesn't matter what he says, no matter what it is, no matter how untruth, you know, how dishonest it is, doesn't matter. You stand up behind him and rah, rah, rah. You know, the same, you know, we could make comparisons. And I hate to do this, but but in terms of the logistics and the mechanisms, Adolf Hitler in the 1930s promoted lies and said things about certain populations in Europe, and people believed it. And they're all based on lies. And he came into be the most horrific ruler, or one of the most, anyway, well, I think the most terroristic, you know, horrific ruler in our world, you know, in the history of the globe, Adolf Hitler. And I'm not comparing Trump to Hitler. Believe me, I'm not doing that. But just in terms of the logistics and the mechanism that Hitler came, and others like him, I'm just using him as an illustration, that he came to power is very similar to what's happening with Donald Trump here, where people believe anything and everything he says.
Yeah. Well, isn't it funny, I mean, how we as humans react to things? Because if you tell someone there are 300 billion stars in the universe, they'll believe you. But mm-hmm. if you tell them that a bench has wet paint on it, they'll have to touch it just to be sure, you know? So
Yeah. I do that.
Yeah, I think I do too. So, you know, it just goes to show how humans work, right?
When the sign says, don't touch wet paint, I'm like, really?
Let's sit on it and find out, shall we?
Wait, let me try sitting on that bench.
Yeah.
Dad, you've got this big stain on your pants.
Oh,
I stood all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
Yeah, really, you know? Yeah. But anyway, so we'll have to see what happens with Gates. And Donald Trump did not give him that pardon, by the way. That never happened. So, you know, Gates is out there on his own. And if he gets indicted, he does. If he doesn't, he doesn't. The other person close to so many people under who have been convicted, who have pled guilty or indicted, who've done jail time that Trump has surrounded himself with. Another one is Rudy Giuliani, of course. What's up with that one? His attorneys have argued that the recent search warrant, remember they invaded his, they invited him to a party. Yeah. They invaded, you know, his office and home. His attorneys recently made an argument via a letter to the court that was unsealed Monday today. That federal authorities, the material that they seized, kind of summarizing what happened here, was illegal, and it wasn't up to the investigators, the Department of Justice, to determine what was attorney-client privilege, which is not subject to any type of disclosure by anybody. You know, attorney-client privilege means attorney-client privilege. And attorneys for Rudy Giuliani said that, you know, they took everything his iPhone, his computers, all his electronic media, because they're investigating his ties and activities in Ukraine. And
right.
He conducted illegal lobbying for Ukrainian officials while he pursued an investigation linked to Trump's primary political rival, you know, who we obviously know is the current president, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. You know, what happens? We're following Rudy here. We've got to just, you know, I just have visions of Rudy Giuliani talking in front of the porn shop with oil pouring out of his ears at a press conference in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Oh,
we must have some Trump people listening. 515-605-9888. When I say Trump people, he's not president. He has no power. You know, he's done. He's absolutely done.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever going to come back. Let's think about it. He lost the House. He lost the Senate. He lost the Oval Office for the Republican Party. He lost everything. And he completely dismantled the Republican Party.
Yeah.
What's the deal? I just want to know. You, if somebody knows, please call and let us know. 515-605-9888, or I know we get emails and so forth. You know, AM Kim. Yeah, what is it? Andy and Amanda. Gmail. That's okay. Andy Amanda. Andy.
You said it right.
And Amanda,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Gmail. Yeah. Yeah.
So sorry.
No,
It is
Andy Amanda Show at Gmail, right? Okay.
That's right, yeah.
Got
you got it right.
Tick-tock.
Oh, the famous TikTok.
Yes.
It's been a while.
I'm sure people would argue that
Trump was also good at dismantling, you know, society, separating mm-hmm. us and, you know, mm-hmm. turning us against each other. Mind you, not that we need an excuse to turn against each other. I mean, come on. Is always proven how we always turn against each other, but it takes one strong personality to be able to create such intense chaos, the kind that broke out when and Trump was in power. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we all know my views on it, and we know your views on it, Andy. But what a man. I mean, like I said, I admire him in so many ways for the way he was so, you know, had that belief in himself. I'm right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to see this through. And I'm going to follow through on everything I'm saying. And I got to give him that, you know, he knows how to own the stage. He knows how to own the people. And it's very clever. But, you know, in terms of the disruption and imbalance that was caused is incredible. And like you said, it's the kind of thing that, that Hitler was known for, and the kind of thing that he created very cleverly. You know, he came across as this wonderful guy, supposedly, and had other plans. So, yeah. History has a way of repeating itself in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Not necessarily right down to the finest detail, but, you know, it happens. And not that I'm saying, or Andy's saying that Trump is Hitler. What we're saying is that the way he went about things, you know, you can kind of make that comparison with how he won the people over and manipulated the public to do his will, basically.
Yeah, through lies. Yeah. Through lies.
Yeah,
Just is.
I was just about to do the same thing.
We do it together. Yeah.
Don't get the idea, it was mere entertainment.
Yes. Well, that's another thing. What an entertainer he is. I don't know, that was just sad today. There was a school bus crash.
What?
Luckily, though, school bus crash. But luckily, though, the kids they only had minor injuries, bless them. But you always hate to hear about that thing, that you immediately your heart jumps out to them, thinking, no, I hope any children didn't die and it wasn't too serious. Unfortunately, the car that hit the school bus, the driver died, bless him. Yes. Very sad, very sad. And there was also that train crash, wasn't there, in Iowa? Did you hear about that?
I heard, yeah.
Freight train, I think it was.
It was a freight train. Yeah, derailed with fertilizer, with explosive, cars and cars and cars of potentially... explosive fertilizer derailed.
That picture looked nasty. I thought, wow.
Oh, God,
They're scary. Train crashes are just like, whoa. They're another level. Very
scary. That
was,
they evacuated like a whole region, a whole population of people within a 5-mile radius of that thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. I think, nobody got hurt. That's the main thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nobody got hurt. So now it's a cleanup effort. You know what's also happened here is there's a major U.S. hospital chain.
Okay.
Privately owned hospital chain that has filed lawsuits against hundreds of patients that had difficulty paying the medical bills, especially over COVID, through COVID.
Yeah.
And it just... and they're going to court, and for $200 up to $160,000, for folks that have lost their jobs or barely getting by, that needed medical care, and they had problems paying their bills, and their claims are that these people who they're suing have not bothered to communicate or get back in touch when requested to regarding their financial obligations, and that has proven not to be true. Well, you ready for this? There's 19,000 lawsuits against patients over allegedly unpaid medical bills since March of 2020.
Wow.
As other hospitals around the country have moved to curtail similar type of legal activity during the coronavirus pandemic, this one hospital chain, it's got 84 hospitals, which are concentrated in the south of southern United States, a couple in Alaska, Key West, Florida, and northeastern Pennsylvania. Has filed all these lawsuits against people, and the people who didn't hire attorneys to defend it, they don't even show up in court. They get judgments, and then the hospital continues to move ahead with judgments and garnish their wages. You make $800 a month, and they garnish part of that to repay the bill. So now you're down. You don't make $800 a month anymore. Whatever it is you make, a couple cases where the hospital chain is CHS. In 2020, they enjoyed its most profitable year in the last decade. Even as it was suing patients during the pandemic, the company made $511 million in net income last year, a big swing after annual losses that stretched the last 4 years.
Wow.
And that financial result led to the company's top executives earning millions of dollars worth of bonuses.
Oh, my goodness.
Millions of dollars. But let's go sue some poor lady who can't pay her medical bill for several thousand dollars, who makes $800 a month. Let's go sue her and garnish her wages.
That's disgusting, Andy.
Are you ready for this also? The same hospital chain has received $705 million in pandemic-related aid from the federal governments, from taxpayers.
What?
The CARES Act and other state and local programs, not including additional government loans it will have to pay back, according to an annual report to shareholders it issued in 2021.
Wow.
They have not – unbelievable.
Oh, just hearing things like that just angers me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, where is humanity in all this? Where is the humanity in people and in business? I mean, I understand that business needs to function a certain way to become a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, with things like this and where people are struggling just to survive and stay alive, because we're entitled to stay alive. It's our right here.
It's a right,
you know?
Yeah.
Yes, it is a right. And just as having water is a right and having food is a right. And, you know, it's a fundamental human thing we need. And yet it makes me so angry knowing that companies are exploiting our human rights dictating to us that say, well, if you're too sick to pay, if you're too broke to pay.
Yeah,
then I'm sorry, you go ahead and die.
It's unreal. I won't mention this one woman I know who was sued by them for $19,000. She received disability payments. Both her and her husband both contracted COVID-19 last summer, and they struggled to pay their bills each month just to get by. And she claimed that she tried to reason with the lawyers and tell them there was no way that she could pay for this, but nothing worked. And again, the hospital chains, CHS stands for Community Health Systems Incorporated, and I want all our listeners to look them up and send them nastygrams and emails and letters. And come on. They're one of America's largest hospital chains, and they filed at least 19,000 lawsuits against their patients over allegedly unpaid medical bills. Yep.
Wow. That's shocking, Andy. I mean, it isn't, I know. I mean, come on, it's to be expected from a lot of businesses these days, especially when it comes to healthcare, because, oh my goodness, the amount of money in medicine and healthcare is ridiculous. But it still shocks me, and it's still heartbreaking to hear that, you know, there are people in all these countries that just can't afford to pay for their health, and they just want to live. And it's just, makes me so sad and angry all at the same time, damn it.
Yeah, it's you hear these stories and you're like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you know, we all do what we do, we get by, and, you hear some of these horrible stories, what some people are going through, mostly as a result of the effect of this horrible virus that has had on the entire population of the planet, and mostly here in the United States. We're the leader of deaths. Isn't that great to be proud of? Isn't that just wonderful? Welcome to America. And mostly, again, because we've said time and time again, because of the activities and the lack of such, I guess, of our prior administration. Speaking of what prior administration, I have something funny I want to tell you. This is laughable.
Okay.
There's a Republican by the name of Fred Upton, Congressman. On Sunday, he called out an effort by some of his GOP colleagues to downplay the insurrection on the Capitol on January 6th. You know what he said?
He said,
if you look at this video, really, it looked like a normal day of tourists going through the Capitol. Quote, he called them tourists. This would be, if you looked at the video, It's like what you expect to see in tourists. These people just went through the Capitol. They were taking pictures. They were admiring the different things in the halls in the Capitol, and they were photographing everything like tourists. He literally said that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Andy.
I know.
What are we going to do with these people, Andy? What are we going to do with them?
This is what we're going to do.
Here I come to save the day.
The Andy and Amanda Show.
Here I come to save the day.
I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. You know, we can't
I know
this
question.
We
you should ask for. China.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Let me see what they'll. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder what they'll say. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to do our best on this show. We like to express how we feel about things that's going on in the world. I think we're entitled to, just like everybody else has their opinions. And we try to be a good influence where we can, and sometimes a bad influence. And you guys get us by now, I'm sure. And any new listeners that are just thinking, who are these guys? What are they about? I'm trying to work
them out. Who are these people? Are you following the news regarding the Israeli warplanes and pounding Hamas tunnels?
Dipping in and out. I've got a friend over there at the moment, and luckily she's safe. I've been messaging her daily saying, are you okay? Are you safe? And she said that it's a little quiet in this part at the moment, but, more missiles were launched. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so that's a little scary. But, like I said, I've been dipping in and out, Andy.
Yeah, it's we are human beings killing each other because of over misunderstandings and so forth. And the Hamas terrorists what they do is they put their rocket launchers in front of school buildings and public buildings, in front of railroad stations, in front of places where people congregate. And they hide them and they bury them in there, and they fire rockets from there because they put them purposely around civilian areas, thinking that Israel will not strike them because of the civilian areas. But unfortunately, that is not held up, and there's over 200 people who have been killed, many women and many children.
Oh my goodness, I know.
Have been killed there. Yeah, yeah.
It's horrific.
And it is. And the Israeli warplanes just launched a fresh round of massive airstrikes in Gaza today. Of course, they're ahead of it. We're back in the time clock here, but it's the most serious conflict that they've had in the region in years. And this is the second week. Missed calls for ceasefire, it continues to mount. But you're seeing dozens of Israeli jets bombing more than 9 miles of Hamas tunnel systems located in Gaza. And that happened overnight and targeted 9 residences Monday that the Israeli military said belonged to commanders from the Palestinian militant group. They bombed their houses. It said that the Israeli military had struck more targets in Gaza in the past week than it did in all of 2020. About 3,150 rockets have been fired from Gaza into Israeli territory since Monday.
That's crazy.
And what do you expect Israel to do? Sit there and not do anything? What do you expect, folks? Just go sit, oh, good. We're not going to retaliate. Israel is as small as a population, as small as a country as it is one of the most fiercest, strongest militaries in the world. In the world. That little tiny country of Israel. They're incredibly strong. Don't mess. Everybody wants peace. But they're not going to sit there and let themselves be bombed and not retaliate.
No, of course not. It's ridiculous. I mean, go on, sorry.
No, but I'm good, the Israeli strikes have killed 200 people in Gaza, 59 children, 35 women, and displaced over 40,000 people. And these videos are coming out of there are horrific. Buildings destroyed.
It is. Yeah.
I was watching a video which I lost. I wanted to comment on it because I don't know where it is, but I lost it. It's okay. I'll find it again. But I wanted to play an audio clip of this video of a guy who lost his wife and kids in a bomb explosion. I'm hearing all these personal stories that are just, you know, they're these devastating stories. But it's it's war that Israel didn't start.
Yeah. I really feel for them. Deeply feel for them. It is horrific. And seeing all the pictures and the videos and stuff, it really shakes you up and says, okay, I can be so thankful for my life right now and how easy I actually have it. Because when you see people suffering to that degree, it really does give you that gratitude, doesn't it, of, wow, I have my health, I'm alive, I'm here, I'm comfortable, I haven't got this threat right on my door stepping in my face, and, you know, possibility of losing a child or myself. It's just like, wow. Oh, man, so sad.
But the you know, there's photos. You can see the photos that have been released by the Defense Forces of Israel that show the Hamas rocket installations and the tunnel entrances placed in very close proximity to, as I was saying, to civilian infrastructure. Like they put them close to hospitals, they put them near schools, you know, where people congregate, and they deliberately and systematically do this among the civilian population, exposing their citizens to danger. This is what they're doing. So they're firing rockets into Israel, killed a couple of people there, and luckily Israel's been, you know, a lot of people there have, who potentially could have been killed have not been, and they're taking proactive measures to protect themselves, but some people have been killed. 10 people in Israel have been killed so far, including two children, since the start of the whole flare-up. But it could have been much worse, believe me, and might, still might be. But but you know, Hamas is deliberately placing their launch weapons in civilian populations. So what's Israel going to do? Let them just continue to launch the rockets? Oh, we can't do. We better not take them out. Let them fire rockets into our country and kill and maim people and destroy our infrastructure and our buildings.
Yeah.
And we better not go get them because they're near a hospital or because of school. Guess what? We didn't tell you to do that. You did.
That must be a horrific decision to have to make as well.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The weight of that decision. Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. And the prime minister there, Benjamin Badenoff? Oh, no. Here we go again. Benjamin Johnson? Yeltsin? Yeltsin.
Oh. Okay.
Brezhnikov. No. Benjamin.
Big Ben?
Big Ben. What was
Big
that
Ben.
Joke? Big Ben. Yeah, my wife was getting all excited to see Big Ben, and then she realized it was a clock. Yeah. The
Tick-tock.
But the Prime Minister there, Benjamin Netanyahu, that's how you pronounce it, said Sunday that he would do whatever it takes to restore order there, and that he said it would take some time, and you know, they're doing whatever they can to initiate a ceasefire, and we'll see what happens. So what happened to that? We had an incredibly inept, experienced, incapable, what do you call it? Somebody unqualified and amazing international relations director by the name of Gerard Kushner. I'm sorry. negotiate an incredible peace settlement. Remember that? Gerard Kushner. Who was a real estate guy, worked for Trump Organization. Trump becomes president, and Gerard Kushner suddenly becomes this expert international negotiator for peace, negotiating U.S. policy around the world, coming from his job as a real estate guy working for his father.
Wow.
So our Monday show, our new show, we all caught up on the weekend? I think we are. Now we can go have fun for the rest of the week, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Today's been interesting, hasn't it? It's just, what is it with Mondays? I don't know. Funny energy when it comes to our show.
Oh, on there's
Mondays.
One more thing. I know what I also want to talk about, because this attracts me greatly. There's a global push to cut carbon emissions now, and many of us haven't stepped on a plane in a long time, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And there was a supersonic transportation system. Remember the Concorde that retired, almost 20 years ago now, I think it's been? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But the I remember the Concorde. I was a pilot when the Concorde flew, and I got the opportunity to see it land and take off many times because I was you know, behind it or ahead of it on the runway or taxiing, whatever. And I got to see when I was a pilot come in and land and take off. It was really cool, very cool.
That is
met a Concorde captain at one point. Yeah, very, very cool. But now there's some startups that are working on supersonic and hypersonic projects. And Boom Supersonic is one of those companies, and they're rolling out an actual honest-to-goodness aircraft demonstrator called the XB-1, and they're saying they'll be able to take anybody anywhere within 4 hours around the world at Mach 2.2 for $100 by 2026.
Whoa!
Anywhere you want to go.
That's
at
incredible.
Mach 2.2. $100. Boom. Where do you want to go? Got it. There. Boom. 4 hours.
Wow.
Next.
That's impressive.
Their airplanes expected to seat between 65 and 88 people will focus on 500 transonic. They have routes that go around the across oceans, just like you would highways in the ground. And those routes are dependent upon the winds aloft and so forth, and the most efficient ways to get from continent to continent. And they're, when you're given a clearance as an airline crew, you're cleared to a departure point when you're leaving your continent to take a particular route, which you know it is. It's preloaded into your navigation system, and you give reports along the way where you are on that route. And that's how that's done. So there's
wow.
500 transoceanic routes that'll benefit from this Mach 2.2 speed, more than twice as fast as today's subsonic commercial jets. New York to London would take 3 hours and 15 minutes, while Los Angeles to Sydney would be cut down to eight and a half hours.
Wow. Mm. That's
yep.
a huge jump.
So, yeah, and because, you know, I guess because of my own interest in the space program and aviation and so forth, we've kind of talked about developments in the helicopter on Mars and so forth, and that's always cool. You know, that's my personal kind of thing there, you know. That kind of excites me, you know what I mean? That I get into that stuff, you know. Captain Kirk, I'm loving it, you know what I mean?
It's fascinating, though. Even I find it interesting, and I've never really, you know, had a huge passion about it, but I'm absolutely fascinated by it. I love it. It's great.
Well, I hope I don't bore you with my conversation about airplanes.
Oh, God, no, Andy. No, don't be silly.
Good.
Excuse me while I yawn. Joking.
Good, because, you know,
I have been expecting you.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
I am indeed.
Yeah. But anyway, so I think we're caught up on the news of the day or you know the main points. And what we do on Mondays, you know, we try to have some fun, but you know, want to catch everybody up because we don't report the news as we've said so many times, but we comment on what's going on in the news, you know?
Absolutely. We sure
yeah.
do. And sometimes I just wish it was a little bit more interesting news. I say interesting, I guess. I just mean a bit more lighter and, I don't know, just less toxic, let's face it. Less toxic news, but the news is news. There's always going to be this type of thing in the world, so
yep.
get used to it, right? That's what it is.
Yep.
Just get used to it. anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, this week we're on it. You know, being on at noon today wasn't so bad, actually, because normally on Mondays we are on – actually, Monday, UK time, we're on at 5 o'clock, the 5 o'clock summer show on Mondays, meaning it's 5 o'clock in UK. But it's also noon here. It is 5 o'clock somewhere. And somewhere in the world, it is 5 o'clock, in fact. So there still is the 5 o'clock summer Monday show, although we had to go on late because of technical issues here in Los Angeles that prevented us from going on the Blog Talk Radio air, as it may be called, at a normal time in 9 a.m. Pacific time or noon East Coast. So, we got on at noon, you know, 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. where you are, which is our normal time on Wednesdays and Fridays. So we will be back at noon in the at 3 excuse me 3 p.m. on in East Coast time and 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Friday, did I tell you Friday we will not be on? Did I tell you what happened Friday? What's going to happen Friday? Thursday and Friday?
No.
Speaking of getting back to work and playing gigs, I got booked to do a commercial.
Oh, go.
I'm doing a commercial for Amazon Prime on Thursday and Friday.
Oh, you're awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah,
I got
tested from an agent on, was it Thursday or Friday last week? And I was trying to coordinate because I know I did a fitting on Saturday. You know, went down, did a fitting, and I got to send you a picture, unless Cornell already did, of this outfit I got to wear. I wish I took my mask off. But,
I was going to say, Andy, actually, you know, there's me making out that I didn't know about it, but, you know, I saw the pictures on Instagram on our show.
That's me.
Yeah, I was
aware. That's what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
yes.
Amazing. People go check it out. Check out our Instagram.
I should have told the guy to take the mask. I forgot. I had somebody take my picture. I said, I was fun putting this outfit on. And I was like, it's like a little toy soldier type of outfit, I guess. Mrs.
Yeah.
Cratchit, right? Yep.
Yeah.
So
it kind of reminds me of those soldiers in the Nutcracker suite. Is that right?
Yeah, the Nutcracker suite. And I wonder if it's going to, because this, you know, we might be shooting a commercial. What month? This could be a commercial that's going to air next for the holidays. You know, they do that far out. You know, maybe it is.
Oh,
I'll let you
wow.
know. But
yeah,
yeah, so we
I
will not
see.
Be on Friday because I'll be on set doing a commercial for Amazon Prime.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely
Nicole.
Amazing. That is so cool.
Yep.
I'm very proud of you, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, playing gigs again. I'm getting acting gigs again. And, you know, so it's kind of, whoa, you know, it's been
life
a crazy
good.
Year and a half. And before we did the show, before we did the show, I mean, I'm going back, you know, April's when we started the show and the COVID lockdown started in March 16th here. I had a pretty busy life. Doing acting gigs and writing songs and recording and playing gigs and just being out, you know, and that's what I did. And then boom, suddenly there I was. And that's how this radio show came about. And it's been a blast and we're going to continue. But I'm not going to complain if we have to not do a show here and there because I'm on set or doing a music gig every once in a while. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And same with you, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
But so Friday I'll be doing that. So we'll be doing a Wednesday show, and maybe we'll think about that. Maybe there's a way we can get a weekend show in. We'll talk. We might be able to do it because no weekend is complete without a free flow on Friday show. No weekend is complete without a free flow on Friday show. So we might be able to – we'll work something out. You know, would it be cool if we could do it, like if I can somehow sneak it like live from holding or something from base camp, from set? Hi, this is Andy.
That would be
– we're doing a commercial. So doing the Andy Mander show live on set during the commercial. Hey, this is pretty cool, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, be very, very – you know.
We'll do a little pre-warning, like, message at the beginning. Please turn up your headsets or your computers just to hear us talk, because we're both going to be talking like this through the whole show.
But I like playing our funny clips on Friday. But anyway, we have some audio clips that are underway that are going to be ready to roll here, which I want everybody here and listen in on Wednesday. And I don't know about what time Friday, but we'll let you know Wednesday what we might be able to do for the weekend show, because they're so much fun to do. They are so much fun. And but we'll be back on Wednesday at
the
8
usual
p.m.
time?
Where you are.
Yeah.
8 p.m. where you are.
Yeah.
And in the UK. And again, we want to welcome our listeners in New Zealand.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, my darlings. We appreciate you.
Really. Now brings us up to, I think, 17 countries. 17 countries that tune into the Andy Mander Show. Followers, listeners. You know, we know not everyone, followers aren't listening to every show we do. We know that. But people who've tuned in, we thank everybody for who's helped support doing what we're doing here on the Andy Mander Show, coast to coast. Again, our call number is 515-605-9888. That's how you get hold of us during the show. We didn't have anybody call, but this is a last-minute deal because we're supposed to go on this morning, so it doesn't surprise me. I thought maybe Joe would tune in, but he probably was looking at, from South Dakota. You know how Joe tunes in, you know? Give us a call usually on Mondays and Wednesdays. But anyway, so we had this show wasn't supposed to happen during this time slot. So it was cool to be able to do it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the Andy Mander Show, we move on. You know, we you know, as I said, USC, we fight on and we make things happen.
We
so.
Do our best. We show up and we get things done. Yeah.
And we get things done. So, you know, I want to thank everybody again for joining us because we, you know, we are
executing on our plan.
Mm-hmm. You are?
We are. Mm-hmm. We try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Anyway, so maybe it's time to get out of Dodge, you know, with, you know. Oh,
oh
wait,
you
wait, wait,
didn't.
Wait. Oh, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Do, do, do. Sing with us, folks. Come on. Oh, yeah. Elvis.
Elvis.
Elvis. Only on the Andy Mitchell Show.
Trying to do the lips and the leg movements here.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So, you want to take us home? I guess get us out of here?
Sure. Can we get rid of Elvis first?
Really? Really?
No. We'll end it.
I'll get rid of Elvis. I'll get rid of Elvis.
Okay, guys. Oh, you did it. You did it.
I didn't want, you know.
There's a private joke, guys, with that that thing. Andy blocked him. I'm sure he no, what the hell? He tormented Cornell and I with that song many times.
Before we go, maybe, you know,
the YMCA. If you can do the YMCA with your legs, you're doing great things in the bedroom.
What is your favorite sex position?
Oh my god.
I love doing this interview.
Woo.
Maybe just like being on top. Is it cowgirl on top? Yeah. The cowgirl? Anything where I'm in control?
On top. Missionary.
Missionary. It's very intimate.
Missionary.
But with a little pillow underneath, you know, so there's an angle to it.
Missionary. Mm-hmm. But when the legs behind the head.
Doggy.
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 Style.
That's my favorite. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not seeing the guy.
Doggy
style.
What? I got a big butt, so it like feels good.
Because it's like very primal. I think people really enjoy that. I enjoy that.
Excuse me, what is your favorite sex position?
I'm not going to be able to explain this well. Under roundhouse kick, Edward Scissorlegs,
Newton's cradle,
wheelbarrow,
the cross trainer,
helicopter,
all of them.
On a counter,
wearing a mask,
tied down
on my back,
bent over the bed,
thrusting from the ground,
and he smacks my ass at the same time.
And you switch it up a choker.
Oh, really?
Nasty little people.
And your favorite sex position?
69,
I guess. I like to satisfy a woman.
I just like to lay there and be spoiled.
The scissoring. Mm. It's kind of like a...
Somebody's laying here and somebody's laying here and...
Reverse cowgirl?
Really?
This is normal cowgirl and this is reverse cowgirl.
Oh, man.
I really like floor stuff. The rug burn.
I think they call it the pile driver. The standing man.
This is one where me and the girl hold hands and then wait until marriage because someone's a good little Christian boy and doesn't want to get in trouble.
You can't really do it with these dolls.
We're on a roll now. Can I ask, what is your favorite sex position?
None of your business.
That's right.
Wow, that was something. I couldn't hold back the laughter on some of that. Oh my goodness.
Yes. I just figured we might want to, dive into that just a little bit to, you know, keep us in true form here. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Are we clear?
I'm trying to be. We're trying to get out of here, actually, Jack. We're trying to get out of here. But I have a feeling you don't want us to leave. I know. Well, it's the Monday show. It's the Monday. Come on.
We certainly Monday. Like to hear that. That's for sure. We like to hear that you don't want us to leave. Yeah.
Yeah. We know.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have no further use for you.
So we'll get out of
Thank
here,
you.
Right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That was nice of him. I mean, come on.
It really was. Mm-hmm.
Why have you come here?
We're still figuring that out. Thank you very much for asking. Well, these questions all of a sudden. We're trying to get out of here. And we're getting all these questions like, you know, really, you know what I mean?
Quite rude. Why wait till now?
Yeah, why? We're on for like the last, you know, hour and 15 minutes or whatever, and we, you know, all the time in the world to it. You know, now you're coming on.
I know.
Now you're coming on. You know, really.
Okay.
You know?
That's fine. So, we'll just ignore those comments. Yeah.
I think so. We should.
Oh.
Jeez, excuse me.
Wait, is that me or you?
Excuse me. Really? Be that way. Jeez.
Oh, wow. That was a bit of a squeaky one.
God. God. Forget that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Dr. Fauci.
Oh.
Well, who? When is the time? When you're ready, Satan, you say, now is not the time to pull back on masking, physical distancing, and avoiding congregate settings. When is the time? When is the time? When is the time?
When is the time?
When do Americans get their freedom back?
When we get the level of infection in this country low enough that it is not a really high...
What is low enough? Give me a number. What? I mean, we had 15 days to slow the spread, turned into 1 year of lost liberty. What metrics, what measures... What has to happen before Americans get more freedom?
My message, Congressman Jordan, is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we possibly can to get the level of infection in this country low that it is no longer a threat. That is when. And I believe when that happens, you will see...
What determines when? I'm sorry. What? What measure? What, I mean, are we just going to continue this forever? Or when do we get to the point? What measure? What standard? What objective outcome do we have to reach before Americans get their liberty and freedoms back?
You know, you're indicating liberty and freedom. I look at it as a public health measure to prevent people from dying and going to the hospital.
You don't think Americans' liberties have been threatened the last year, Dr. Fauci? They've been assaulted. Their liberties have.
I don't look at this as a liberty thing, Congressman Jordan.
Well, that's obvious.
As a public health thing. But I disagree with you on that.
The Constitution is suspended during a virus, during a pandemic? It's certainly not.
This will end, for sure, when we get the level of infection very low. It is now at such a high level, there's a threat again of major...
Dr. Fauci, over the last year, Americans' First Amendment rights have been completely attacked. Your right to go to church, your right to assemble, your right to petition your government, freedom of the press, freedom of speech have all been assaulted. For a year now, Americans haven't been able to go to church. Even today, when they go to church, they're limited in the size of worshippers who can meet. Your right to assemble? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
You had a curfew last fall in Ohio. You had to be in your home at 10. In Pennsylvania, you had to be in your home. When you're in your home, you had to wear a mask. In Vermont, when you're in your home, you didn't have to wear a mask, Dr. Fauci, because you weren't allowed to have people over to your house.
Yeah, Congressman Jordan.
Your ability to petition your government for a year, American citizens haven't been able to come to their capital to petition their government to talk to their representatives and freedom of the press. These very pictures that Representative Scalise just showed you and talked about?
Sherman, I think I do remember hearing something on TV about colon cleansing. They say everyone should have one. I'm thinking about getting me an appointment and go down and getting my colon cleansed thoroughly.
Guess what? The press isn't allowed in those facilities. The press is not, the Biden administration will not let the press in there. And certainly freedom of speech. I mean, freedom of... Governor of our third largest state meets with physicians and that video is censored because they dare to disagree with Dr. Fauci. So I just want to know, when do Americans get their First Amendment liberties back?
You know, I don't think anything was censored because they felt they couldn't disagree with me. I think you're making this a personal thing, and it isn't.
Not a personal thing? Oh, my goodness.
No, you are. That is exactly what you're doing.
No, your recommendations carry a lot of weight, Dr. Fauci. We just had the chair of the Financial Services Committee said she loves you, and you're the greatest thing in the world.
Will
my recommendations are consistent.
Will the gentleman yield?
No, it's fine.
Now, can I answer the question, please? My recommendations are not a personal recommendation. It's based on... the CDC guidance, which is...
I'm asking a question. What measures have to be attained before Americans get their First Amendment liberties back?
I just told you that.
I know you haven't given anything specific. You said we hope when this certain... Tell me specific.
Right now, we have about 60,000 infections a day, which is a very large risk for a surge. We're not talking about liberties. We're talking about a pandemic that has killed 560,000 Americans.
And I don't disagree with that. And I understand how serious that is. But I also said it's pretty serious when businesses have been shut down. People can't go to church. People can't assemble in their own homes with their friends, with their families.
Lord, this has been a fabulous, wonderful, fabulous evening.
People can't go to a loved one's funeral. People can't get to their government, petition their representative to redress their grievances. Oh, my goodness. I also understand the First Amendment is pretty darn important, and it's been a year, and I want to know when Americans will get those First Amendment liberties back.
Well, you just said people cannot assemble in their own homes. They can. That's a CDC recommendation for that.
Last fall they couldn't. I didn't. Not last fall they couldn't.
I didn't hear what he said.
The gentleman's time has expired.
He did
not recognize his 5 minutes.
I like my question,
Ms. Malona.
Reclaiming my time. Regular order.
Just a moment.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want you to answer my question. The American people want Dr. Fauci to answer my question. Oh, my goodness. What does it have to be?
Fire, sir. If you need to respect the chair and shut your mouth.
Don't worry about this. We're going to handle this. And I think Mr. Jordan knows me very well. And he knows full well. So we're going to handle this. Your time has expired.
Are you still worried about what your father said in there?
Oh, my God.
I'm crying.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, okay. Pull yourself
God.
Together.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, jeez.
If you guys can laugh along with us, well.
Should we play the Boris Yeltsin one?
Yes.
Should we just play that just the hell of it? If I can find it, if we still have it here.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. wait, what's this? Let me see here.
Wow.
We're going over a couple of points here based on a survey done over in the UK, is that a third of women and two-thirds of men are not satisfied with their sex life.
When most people say they're not satisfied with their sex life, they generally mean the amount of sex. Now, we know that men and women have the same libidos, but there are lots and lots of reasons why women don't want sex as much as men do. Number one is that they tend to take on more, so they have less energy. And number two is, again, what we're talking about with the blog, is orgasms. Women have far less orgasms than men do, so there's...
See, we pick up little pieces of information, you know, tads of, you know, little this, little that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. We try to be educational.
Yeah. We try. We
educate
do our we do
ourselves
our
in the process. Yeah.
That was just so funny. Oh, my God. That was just so funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
I just
oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
My eyes are stinging. Ooh.
Oh, my God.
I needed that.
Oh, my God. That was too funny.
Shake
too
it
funny.
Up, Shake it up. Yeah, I know, right? But, I love those clips. I really do. It's hilarious.
I like that one we did with what's this one?
Is it true? Do girls not masturbate or do girls masturbate?
Oh, my gosh. We are suddenly
masturbating.
Oh, my gosh.
So enthusiastic.
But we did... We did this one, I think it was, I forget what, I guess it was last week sometime on Friday or something. We had a conversation with Boris, keep calling Boris bad enough. I think we got the right clip here.
Will the Prime Minister tell this House if during this session of Parliament he will set up the public inquiry into the government's handling of COVID that he promised me in this House last June?
I can certainly say that we will do that within this session. Yes, that's absolutely. I've made that clear before. I do believe that it's essential that we have a full, proper public inquiry into the COVID pandemic, and I've been clear with the House before.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
That's cleared the lungs a little. Whew.
Oh,
thank you for that.
That was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He likes to show up, doesn't he, that one?
He does.
Likes to show up. Oh my goodness! Once you start, you just can't stop laughing at me.
Four carriers of the plague who will infect their miserable brethren.
They will.
Oh my goodness.
we're going to do everything we can to prevent that from happening. Just stay tuned to the Andy and Amanda show.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Stick with us, guys.
Do. Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
So where we were, what were we doing before? Oh, we were trying to get out of here. We never.
Yeah. Yeah, we also have issues with that, don't we? We apologize, people. We do.
We do. I think you're like hanging with us, though.
I guess. I hope they do. I really do. I think they do. Our statistics showing that they do, right? I mean,
yeah, the numbers are. Where's Cornell when you need him? Our number guy. Cornell Butler, he's the coordinator of the show. He, for folks who don't know of us, Cornell Butler, who's on the East Coast of the U.S., introduced Amanda and I. None of us have ever met. The three of us never met, but he's the coordinator and kind of forges the show ahead and does a lot of publicity and the Instagrams and all this kind of thing. So, but he's a numbers guy, too. He likes the numbers. What are the numbers? What's all this stuff all the time? And the numbers are good. You know, we're getting more and more reach and more people are joining us, and we thank everybody and hope you're having a good time hanging with us. Like, what else are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can never quite tell what each show is going to bring. So, we don't even know what each show is going to bring. And that's the fun of it.
We have no idea.
In a very responsible way, okay? Because when I was younger and I was waiting, I would tell guys, I'm not ready to have sex yet. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. And anytime guys are really cool about that decision, that just made me want to have sex with them more, because there is nothing hotter than someone respecting your boundaries. You're just like, what? Take your pants off. Get over here. The hottest thing you can say to a girl is, hey, we don't have to do anything. Now we do.
And then I thought, well, wait a minute, how am I going to get a guy to be interested in me unless he thinks I'm experienced? No guy wants to sleep with a virgin. I didn't know that either. So I spread a rumor about myself. I told everyone that at age 18, entering college in 1992, that I'd already fucked 10 guys. That's a lot of 10 guys. I mean, not now, but... then, that was a lot. 10 guys at 18 was a lot. Some people don't have 10 people in their town. 10 guys. And 1992 was an innocent, innocent time. Beverly Hills 90210, Brenda and Dylan, they waited a year to lose their virginity to each other. Dylan was an alcoholic who lived by himself. He was a virgin. It was an innocent time. So then no guys wanted to have sex with me because they thought I had an STD because I'd fucked 10 guys. And so I went year after year after year not getting laid until I met someone who transferred into my college my senior year, and he hadn't heard the rumors, and I didn't tell him. Now, we had sex. It was fun. It was fine. I don't remember every detail because it was so long ago, but it was lovely, and I walked home that day just, you know, listening to my Discman, listening to Madonna, you know, the Bedtime Stories album. I'm like, I get it. I'm sexual too, Matt.
This is where we draw the line. Got it.
And,
nyanny, nyanny,
nyanny.
I like it.
I like it. Yeah, very funny. Very
She's funny.
Yep. Yeah, that was good. I like that. Yeah, yeah. You know, for anybody there who believes in psychokinesis, you may now raise my hand.
Oh. Raise your
handle.
Raise theirs.
Yes, they're into that.
I see. It took me a moment to click.
I was thinking, okay.
Good one, Andy. How you have me going. Oh, man. It's Monday, what can I say? Actually, there's no excuse. Yeah. It's always like that for me.
Have you ever done cross-country skiing?
No.
I was just wondering how big the country was that you skied in.
No.
It was downhill, you know, cross country.
I've never actually even tried skiing, Andy.
Oh, really? You've never skied?
Seriously.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't skied myself in a while, but I was an addict for a while. I was never like a great skier. I got down usually the blue, which is the intermediate. And I did some, on the East Coast, I did some black diamond, which was the advanced, but... You know, black diamonds on the East Coast are like the easy green ones on the West Coast. Depends where you are, you know what I mean? But
okay.
But I just ski every week practically through ski season. Every weekend, man, I'm up there in the mountains, boom, 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 you know. 59
wow.
below zero wind chill, and I'm the only one on the chair going up and down the mountain, freezing my butt off while I'm going up on the chair. But once you start skiing down, you don't even feel the cold anymore. You just, you know, such an exhilarating feeling, you know, sliding down the mountain on these skis. I never was into snowboarding. A lot of people snowboard. I never did that.
Yeah, but, that fascinates me. Yeah, I mean the skiing thing fascinates me too.
Yeah, and but you know, and right in those, you know, at the end of every ski season, I go to my my bank account and wondering, you know, where'd everything go? It's expensive sport. How can you you know, how can you tell when you're out of invisible ink?
Say that again.
How can you tell when you're out of invisible ink?
Very good. I like it, Andy. I like it. That's a good one. Oh my goodness! You come up with some
anyway. So now that we spent about a half hour trying to get out of here, I guess we can. So
okay.
This has been fun. This has been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun. A
We've
good way
it.
To start the week, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Join us on Wednesday now. What time are we on Wednesday again? Remember, we're doing the Wednesday show.
So it's 12 o'clock your time, which is West Coast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's 3 p.m. on the East Coast. And it's 8 p.m. my time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Day.
I like you. Go ahead. Figure it out. Go ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. Okay. I get tongue-tied. It's like, wait, our time's changed in 2 days. It's like... So yeah, 12 on the West Coast, 3 p.m. on the East Coast,
no, what's that
and
again?
8 p.m. in UK.
What? No, I'm not clear on that. One more time. No, do it again. What?
One more time. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. 12 p.m. on the West Coast and 3 p.m. on the East Coast. and 8 p.m. on
that's
the UK.
Why. That's why.
Would you rather have a man?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to tell you how it is, all right? Yeah, 12, it's, wait a minute, 12 p.m. on Wednesday. We're here 12 p.m. in the West Coast, 3 p.m. on the East Coast, and 8 p.m. in the UK. There. See?
Yeah, okay.
All right? Okay. All right. Yeah. you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't know what to do with me anymore. No. Wash that guy right out of my hair. I'm going to wash that guy right out of my hair. Mm-hmm.
Wait, no.
Not so quick. Hmm? What? No.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even speak.
Mm-hmm.
Am I taking us out of here now, or are we...
I all right.
Oh, my goodness. I gotta...
You have no power here.
Be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stop it. Oh, my goodness.
Really? Really?
Watching, who was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
We're trying our best here. We just
they're all
way
running
too much
through
fun.
Exit doors. They're trying to get out of the show. Okay. We'll leave. We're out. We'll see you Wednesday, folks. See you Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay.
You can sign us off.
Please. Okay. All right. Okay. So, on behalf of Andy Kimball in...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're not. Yeah. You're not.
No. Okay, all right. Okay. I get it. All right. I'll let her do her thing. I will check and watch.
I'm talking in the background. It's probably more interesting. So behalf of Andy Kimball in California. I can't even say that properly. California.
I promised you nothing.
Yeah. How I feel right now. And on behalf of myself, Amanda Love in the UK, thank you so much for sticking around and, you know, you haven't got fed up with us and just sodded off and left the show already. All right, so yeah, stick with us and come see us on Wednesday and hear what we have to say and what we don't say and
all
join in.
And just remember,
But until then, please look upon this house as your own.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
See you, buddy, Wednesday. Take
Bye,
care.
Everyone.
Hope
Take
you had
care.
A good time.
We had a lovely time.
Did we have a lovely time?
No, we did.
Time.
We sure did.
We did.
Yeah.
Take care, All folks.
Right. Bye, everyone. Bye. Bye.